There were stories galore on night two of this season's UEFA Champions League. We had 7 goals in Munich as Bayern squeezed past Manchester United. Jude Bellingham continued his incredible start to life at Real Madrid. And Arsenal enjoyed their group stage return with a big win. We'll review that and everything else over the next 30 minutes. I'm Chris Parrott here to look back on 8 more Champions League matches, and I'm joined by the European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. Simple question to start, your result of the evening for Wednesday, please.
Arsenal's win over PSV, thought they looked very slick. Perfect start to the group stage for them, a real statement, I think, in that group.
Yes, and we'll tell you how that happened very shortly. So these are Wednesday night results in Group A. Galatasaray 2, Copenhagen 2, and Bayern 4, Manchester United 3. In Group B, it finished Sevilla 1, Lens 1, and Arsenal 4, PSV 0, as Kevin just mentioned. In Group C, Real Madrid 1, Union Berlin 0, and Braga 1, Napoli 2. And in Group D, Real Sociedad 1, Inter 1, Benfica 0, Salzburg 2. We will begin in Group A, where there was a heavyweight clash between two sides with a wealth of Champions League glory between them. Bayern took on Manchester United, of course, a repeat of that famous, that epic 1999 final. And it was watched by Kevin and Richard Connolly.
Kane back to Zane, he will hit it here! And he will score! It slipped underneath Andre Onana. Such was the venom on the strike from Leroy Sané.
And it's one of those horrible moments for a goalkeeper. The split second after the contact, he knows that's squirming under him to go in.
Here's Musiala on the burst into the box. He's still got hold of it. He set up Gnabry here! It's 2-0 to Bayern! And Gnabry was not going to miss from there. 10 metres out, he whipped it low beyond Onana, who was blameless this time. Casemiro finds the shot, is deflected home, and Rasmus Højlund has scored his first goal for Manchester United. And 3.5 minutes into the second period, here is a twist in Munich. Kane to restore Bayern's 2-goal lead on the night. It'll be 3 steps and a right-footed shot right into the corner. Harry Kane scores on his Champions League debut for Bayern with a typically precise penalty. Fernandes playing a cute pass to Rashford. They might get away through here with Casemiro. Can he get his leg to that? He can! Casemiro has scored in the 88th minute for Manchester United to pull the score back to 3-2.
That was a very good finish, considering he'd gone to ground. You have to give him a huge amount of credit for that.
Now Coman collects it, left corner of the penalty box, still Bayern 3-2, a minute into added time. Is there going to be one more goal? Kimmich spotting the run. Tell collects, he's in, on goal, and scores! Scintillating finish from young Tell, the Frenchman. Bruno Fernandes is going to take the free kick, and he goes for goal, and he finds the goal. It went all the way in from Bruno Fernandes. In the 95th minute, that is probably too late for Manchester United. Bayern 4, Manchester United 3.
Well, Richard joins myself and Kevin now. A night definitely when the attacks shone and perhaps the defences did not. But what did you make of it? Bayern deserved to win, right, over the course of the 90
minutes. No question about that, particularly at 3-1. They had several chances and they should have put the game to bed at that point. They were, over the piece, far better. I mean, we were richly entertained 4-3, when are you not? But I don't think the level was high enough for us to consider it a classic. You know, the game was so open that neither team had to be particularly precise with their attacking to create big chances. So I would actually argue that neither team was ruthless enough in a game that ended 4-3.
Yeah.
And that tells you, I think, how much space was there to be had and how much work there is for both coaches to do on the organisation of their teams.
But by the way, the bar for a Champions League classic is incredibly high. But also, it was a really interesting game. I didn't find it like, you know, sometimes you're completely absorbed in Champions League contests, but maybe that is because it's match day one and we saw again.
I think it's because it also felt like Bayern had control of it for large parts, particularly in the second half. And when they got two goals up inside, just outside the first half an hour, you didn't often feel like that the game was in jeopardy. Mm. When United got a goal back, Bayern got their third within 4 minutes. When United got back to 3-2 in the 88th, Tell scored in the 92nd. There wasn't ever much time when United were merely within one goal.
I think the area of the game that United will look back on and really, really regret was when it got to 3-1, because I think it was such a hammer blow psychologically to give away that penalty just after Højlund had got them back in the game. And they did feel a bit sorry for themselves for a little spell of the game. And it took too long to really get going. And you just felt like that belief wasn't quite there that they could get back into the game. Ten Hag brought on Garnacho, he brought on Martial, and that gave them a little bit of a boost. But that was in, what, the 80th minute, the 81st minute, and that felt a bit too late. So, yes, they had that final push. Yes, Casemiro got a couple of goals. But you felt like Bayern were vulnerable all the way through, even when Bayern had a lot of the ball.
And they created an opening at 0-0 when you look back at it now, and it is a game where there are so many moments to look back on, Richard, but they had opportunities at 0-0, and had United scored, then maybe we'd be looking back now on a different ultimate result.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we'd have been looking back on a game with a lot of goals and, you know, both teams scoring plenty of them. But yeah, Eriksen found himself in the best position he found himself in all night, elected to play a low ball across the goalkeeper, and it looked for all the world like Facundo Pellistri, the Uruguayan, was going to score on his Champions League debut. Alfonso Davies got across him and made an extraordinary challenge, which was sort of part desperation and part pure physicality, and managed to get the ball away, but it went back to Eriksen, who had a real chance to anywhere above the goalkeeper, who was kind of down in a low position, and he scores. But he went with quite a safe finish towards a fairly central part of the goal, and Ulreich, moving back, did well to sort of claw it back out from under the crossbar. But it was a major chance on two counts for United, and yet they still had other moments in the game when they could have affected the outcome. That was a very early turning point, but it certainly was one.
Some of Bayern's individual quality made a massive difference, because when Musiala started to really purr in that second half, United couldn't live with him. Zane, I thought, was outstanding throughout, really tenacious, really up for it, really dangerous all the way through. But I feel like this is where Bayern are at right now, that it's about just trying to make their way through the next few months, get Kane on board, not in terms of goal scoring, because he's doing that, but just in terms of all the guys around him, get some of the new players just settled in a bit, but also, and this has been debated endlessly in German media, get to January and plug a few of the holes in the squad, because it's thin. It is. Tuchel said that, and I agree with him. So then it's just about, when you've done that, then we can start seriously talking about proper Bayern. I think they're nearly there, but there's still a fair bit of work to do.
Zane was the official UEFA player of the match. Yeah. Just quickly on Kane, because he was involved in the lovely little cushioned layoff for Zane for the opening goal. Mm. He got off the mark, yes, with a penalty, but immediately once that penalty was given after the VAR review, he picked it up. You could see what that meant to him. Every striker, right, they want to score. And to get off the mark in your first European match is a big deal. It looked certainly for Harry Kane's face as he celebrated like it was a big deal to him.
He's made the biggest move of his career at a time when his wife's been giving birth to their fourth child back in London. His family is in London. He's been making the trip back and forth, and yet he's still been the absolute model of professionalism by all accounts at Bayern.
Yeah.
His effort is without fault. He's trying to fit in. I mean, you know, he's made himself extremely popular in a very short space of time. I mean, you know, the guy is a lot more than a £100 million footballer. He's a real example.
And I think he knew, coming to Munich, he was going into an environment where a huge amount was going to be expected of him. Because at Bayern, every draw is a disaster. This is the kind of media landscape he's in now.
Yeah.
You know, article after article, interview after interview. You know, it's all going very well at the moment, and that's great. He knows he has to keep doing that because things change. So I've been super impressed with what he's done already, and I think he's going to go from strength to strength. So Bayern, for me, as the season goes on, will get stronger. They're not quite there yet, but they're still winning.
And he's got a young striker called Matthias Tell, who you touched upon.
That was a beautiful goal.
It was a beautiful goal.
It really was.
And we're going to hear a lot more from him this season, future seasons.
First Champions League goal for him tonight, it was.
And it will not be his last. This is in Group A. So Bayern, 4-3 winners against Manchester United. The other match was one of the early kickoffs. It was a bit of a classic in Istanbul. Copenhagen raced into a two-goal lead, two very good goals. The first from Mohamed Elianoussi, a chest control, and then a volley into the top corner. And then Diogo Gonçalves with a really accurate finish after Copenhagen had pulled Galatasaray apart. They then saw a red card for a second yellow card offence, and that completely changed the game. Two goals in the last 4 minutes from Sacha Boey and then from Tete rescued a point for Galatasaray. So it's Bayern who lead the way in the very early league table, and a really good night for them. They win the game, Kevin, and the other match is a draw. I think Copenhagen might have taken a point before Wednesday, but when you're 2-0 up with 4 minutes to go, that'll sting for a few days.
I think both clubs will see that as a missed opportunity, because Galatasaray, with all the quality they have going forwards, will feel like they should have, you know, started with a win. Copenhagen, having got in the position they were in, will feel that. I thought the quality of the finishes from both of the Galatasaray goals, and actually Elianoussi's goal as well, were outrageous. Yeah. Really, really high quality. That was a great game.
And it was a wonderful atmosphere, as you might expect. Galatasaray back in the group stage for the first time since 2019. So that's Group A. Group B, this is a very interesting section. Arsenal return to the Champions League against PSV in London. And Andy Barge, watch this one for Matchday Live.
On the right-hand side with Saka, looking to cut in, gives it to Odegaard, edge of the area, shoots, parried wide. Here comes the rebound, and Arsenal have the lead. Oh, that didn't take long. Less than 8 minutes played, and it's Arsenal's golden boy, Bakayo Saka. Saka, right-hand side, into the box he comes. Leads it off for Trossard. Goal for Arsenal. It's absolutely sublime. Here comes the cross, brought down at the far post and rifled into the top corner by Gabriel Jesus. A wonderful finish. Killed it with his first touch, buried it with the second. Odegaard, 25 yards out, shapes to shoot. What a finish! Lasered across the turf into the bottom corner from the Arsenal captain. He's been terrific all evening. He has a goal to show for it now. Arsenal are over the hill and into the distance. 70 played, Arsenal 4, PSV 0.
Yeah, a bit of club history as well. Bukayo Saka and Leandro Trossard scoring on their Champions League debuts. The first time two players have done that in the same game. For Arsenal, Andy joins myself, Kevin, Richard now. Very, very comfortable and very, very impressive by the sounds of things from Arsenal.
Yes, Chris, I don't think it could have gone more perfectly for them tonight on their Champions League return. It went swimmingly, really, in soaking conditions. 3-0 up at half-time. PSV held at arm's length during the second before Odegaard hammered the final nail with 20 to play. The matches between the pair in the Europa League last season were fairly tight, but this was really at the opposite end of the spectrum. Arsenal were voracious in the first half. PSV were blown away. Two moments of magnificent quality from Trossard and Jesus, followed Saka's opener, which came from Benitez failing to hold on to Odegaard's shot. And PSV, really, they puffed a bit more. That amounted to a bit of a whisper and a hurricane. Really, they couldn't do anything about it. Some threat down the left-hand side with Noah Lang, but they couldn't translate their domestic form to the European stage. And that's exactly what Arsenal did. They were clinical. No need for exertion in the second half. Key players taken off, and good time ahead of Sunday's North London derby. Around 20 or 30 minutes to spare. Rice and Saka, Jesus, all given a bit of time in the dugout. So a brilliant start for Mikel Arteta's side in their Champions League comeback. Longs away for them next, PSV hosting Sevilla, so that'll be interesting.
Certainly will. Arteta very pleased with his side's attacking display, no surprise, particularly given Arsenal had four different players on the score sheet.
This is what we need, that they get used to doing that, and as well they got involved in many goals as well, the four of them especially. So really pleased to do that, really pleased for Gabi as well, the way he earned his goal, because he had a couple of chances before that. So that's what we need. Last year it was a big thing for us, and we have to continue to develop that.
So that was the coach. How about the captain? UEFA Player of the Match, Martin Odegaard, enjoyed being part of Arsenal's victory against PSV.
I think you saw the motivation, the energy straight from the start. You know, to be back in this competition is huge for us as a club. And I think you saw that on the pitch today. We really enjoyed it. And we played a good game. Of course, some things we can still improve, but it was a solid performance and a great start to the competition. Before the game, you could feel that this was a special game for everyone. And the atmosphere, you know, with the Champions League anthem and then everything around, fans brilliant again. So we just have to thank them once again for everything they do for us, how much energy they give us. And we're all together. So that's great to see.
You can hear it there, Andy, about, I think, how much the Champions League means to this group of players, right? Many of them playing their debut in the competition. Watchers of the English Premier League will know all about Arsenal Football Club. But for a lot of them, this was new territory. So to get such a good positive result in their first outing must do them, their confidence anyway, the world of good heading into the next five matches in this section.
Yeah, well, they didn't strike me as a team, Chris, that were bereft with nerves ahead of the game. And I think Odegaard sums it up quite nicely there. PSV started with a couple of shots in the first 5 minutes, but they were tame. And from that moment on, Arsenal just had them in the palm of their hand. They were so effusive in their attacking play, but they didn't overdo it. There were times maybe where Trossard or Saka, who were both brilliant in the wide areas, they had to check back and recycle the ball, and they just waited to pick their moments. And the second goal is a perfect example of that. Declan Rice picked it up in central midfield. Brilliant disguise on the pass, which took about three PSV players out of the game. And from that moment on, that the siren was blaring for PSV, that there was just simply no stopping Saka in the wide area, and the ball rolled across for Trossard, driven into the goalkeeper's bottom left corner. It was a magnificent goal, and that just summed up the way that Arsenal were playing in the first half. So they really have come into this game, I think, with a fair bit of wind in their sails, and I think even more at the full-time whistle.
The other match in Group B finished Sevilla 1, Lens 1. The action came early, really. Lucas Ocampos opening the scoring for Sevilla, and then Angelo Fulghini with a fantastic free kick from the edge of the penalty area, which flew beyond Marco Dimitrovic, and Lens rescued a point in their first match back in the Champions League for more than 20 years. So Group B shaping up very nicely ahead of the next fixtures. Still to come, we'll look at more of the action from night two in this season's Champions League, including how the record 14-time winners began their latest challenge.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So to Group C next, where Champions League debutants Union Berlin travel to the Bernabeu to take on Real Madrid. Phil Blacker watched this one alongside the European football journalist Alvaro Romeo.
Taken short and quickly by Kroos. Valverde, side of goal for him. Pinball in the penalty area, could go anywhere. And it's in from Bellingham, who got the final touch. And right at the end, it's heartbreak for those from Berlin, because Union's resolve is broken. Real Madrid, as they often do, have found a way. It's Real Madrid 1, Union Berlin 0.
Real Madrid, they do this a lot of times, plenty of times they have done it. And they're going to get the 3 points despite the great, great job of Union Berlin.
Yeah, it was heartbreak for Union, who played extremely well in Madrid. But that man, Jude Bellingham, scoring again. He was very impressed with Madrid's opponents, though.
I thought Union were brilliant. I thought their organisation was amazing. Look, I've played against Union for 3 years in Dortmund, and we always had a tough game against them. And, you know, they've continued that again. The team I've got massive respect for, and the coach I really like. So, yeah, we knew it was going to be a difficult game, and we knew we'd have to stick at it till the end. And, you know, I think when you've got the players that we have with the mentalities that they have, you know you're going to get more chances at the end. And I think it's all about being in the right positions to just, you know, like I did in the end, tap it home. And, yeah, hopefully it continues.
He's still only just 20. He scored five league goals for Real Madrid, and now he scored in the Champions League as well. But he mentioned it there. Union were excellent. They were not overawed at all going to Real Madrid. Kevin, you commentate on the Bundesliga on a weekly basis. What will they take from their first match? Of course, this club who, you know, 20-odd years ago were playing in the fourth tier of German football.
It'll sting, but I think we'll take a lot, because the big question was, really, can they truly compete at this level? Well, if you go to the Bernabeu and take on Real Madrid and push them that deep into the game and only concede a bit of a pinball goal at the end, I think you realise, OK, we can do this. I mean, that is a really tough game to start with. They've played ever so well. They'll feel at the Olympiastadion, you know, with a big, big crowd, that they can really push. It's not quite the same as Köpenick, but it will be a different atmosphere, but they'll have massive crowds. And I think they will believe they can do it. You look at that club, every challenge that's been in front of them, they've sailed over the hurdle. And I think they can do it again. I really do.
Leonardo Bonucci has come to the club. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's played in a Champions League final here. He was very, very impressive, and you can see why they wanted to bring that experience to what has been a very tight-knit group who have kind of gone through a lot of these challenges together. So that it looks like a very good fit for Bonucci, certainly on first glance.
Well, I thought what was really interesting was Robin Konocka, who's been the centre-back, who's been really impressive for Union in the last few years. Very much a quiet leader at the back for them. They asked him about Bonucci, and he said, look, it's brilliant that we've got a player of that experience and that quality, but he's going to have to do the same as everybody else has done when they've come here. You have to integrate. You have to stick with our footballing principles. And I think Bonucci will do that. I think he'll rise to that challenge. And that is how they roll. They don't allow anybody to just come in and dictate. You have to go through everything that the others go through.
Can't wait to see how Union go at the Olympiastadion, as you said, in a couple of weeks' time. Beaten by Real Madrid on match day one. The other game in the section was very interesting. Great late drama. Braga beaten at home by Napoli, who, of course, broke new ground in the competition and reached the quarterfinals for the first time last season. They took the lead on the stroke of half-time when their captain, Giovanni Di Lorenzi, rattled home a volley in off the crossbar. You thought that was going to be the winner until Bruma headed home a brilliant equaliser 6 minutes from time. And then heartbreak for Braga, who have been away from the group stage for a long time. An own goal from Siku Niakate in the 88th minute gave Napoli all 3 points. Summer of change, of course, having won the title last season, Kev, but that'll be an early settler in what is a tough section for Napoli to go away on match day one and pick up 3 points.
That feels really significant to me, because a lot of talk about Rudy Garcia, because he's replaced Luciano Spalletti, who obviously led them to the Scudetto and then stepped down, is now the Italy boss. And Garcia needs these early results. He needs to get the fans on side. He needs to just get himself a bit of breathing space. And I think this will absolutely help them to do that. So feels like a really important step for Napoli. But again, with Braga, they can say to themselves, OK, we've taken on the Italian champions. We've shown we can compete.
Certainly can. Group D, the final section. Real Sociedad 1, Inter 1. Of course, Inter reached the final last season. And this was a fine game as well. Real Sociedad 10 years away from the group stage. Opened the scoring just 4 minutes in when they pressed into it, into a bit of an error at the back, and Mendes rattled home the opener. They led until the 87th minute, Kev, when Inter showed some of that quality from this season domestically. And last season, Lautaro Martinez slammed home the equaliser. Good point. Maybe an important point for both teams, actually, but this section's going to be I think, very, very hard to call.
Well, I think what it shows is the brutality of the Champions League, because they started really, really well, as you say. Bryce Mendes with an excellent performance. But if you don't then go on and get the second goal against a team of Inter's quality, you're leaving yourself open. There was an element of fortune about it, because it was a shot that was dragged and it went straight to Martinez. But the way he's playing right now, Everything he touches, he is the man with the Midas touch.
He is.
Brilliant finish, I thought. Real power behind it. That's a really good point for Inter, because they didn't play particularly well.
Well, Real Sociedad also hit the post. They had numerous chances to make it two. Here are the thoughts of the Inter goalkeeper, Jan Sommer.
First of all, I'm really happy with this point, because we had a really bad first half, and we have to say we were not into the game. But in the second half, we had some situations, not a lot, but we had some situation, and it's Champions League against a good opponent. So we take this point, and we have to correct some things for the next one.
So the thoughts of Sommer there, and the final game in Group D, Benfica 0, Salzburg 2. A really good win away from home for the Austrian team. And the key moment here came very, very, very early on. A red card for a deliberate handball on the line in the first half. 15 minutes in when Antonio Silva was sent off. Šimić rattled home the penalty, and then he teed up Gluck in the second half of the second. So Salzburg up and running with a 2-0 victory away from home. Let's return to Bayern against Manchester United then. The story of the night, the match of the night, really. And Bayern's Alfonso Davies has been sharing his thoughts on his team's 4-3 win.
I mean, overall, it was a good game from us. We knew coming this game we needed to, you know, get these 3 points, you know, to start our Champions League journey after a good start, which we did. And we had a lot of chances in the game. We couldn't finish, and you know, they had chances. They put something in the net. But overall, the most important is we got the 3 points, and we leave happy.
Richard Connolly, your moment of the evening. It can be from the 4-3 win. It can be from anything that you've seen on this Champions League.
I'll take Matthijs Tel's goal for Bayern. The goal that made it 4-2 right at the end. It was a super control and finish from a young man who's going to provide us with many more such moments down the years.
He's just stolen mine, so I'll think on my feet. I'll go for Lautaro Martinez, actually, because he's having a terrific season. And to show the composure to come up with that finish just when his team needed him, I thought was very, very impressive.
Saw some brilliant goals, actually. Now we've talked about them, you're like, there were some very good finishes.
And interestingly, you talked about him there, Oscar Gluck. You know, we know that Salzburg develop young talent. He could be the next one on the production lines, play very well for Israel at youth level. He's one to watch.
Andy Barge, your moment of the evening?
Odegaard's goal, the fourth one. He always has time in the ball, dropped his shoulder and thundered it into the bottom corner. That really crowned a magnificent performance from the Gunner conductor.
Yeah, Arsenal were excellent. That is all we have time for on this Champions League Wednesday. Join us from 6 p.m. CEST every Champions League night for live commentary, interviews and analysis. We're back on Tuesday, the 3rd of October for Match Day 2. Remember to download our podcast as well. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.